Warning All Cars, the copyrighted program created for the Rio Grande Oil Company. Radio flashes the warning to all cars.
The robbery is one car on Mr. Brown Avenue. Woman's shoes get their skirts before the robbers get away.
Here's her second count. This is the real reason why Rio Grande attracts gasoline powers more police and emergency cars than any other brand, everywhere it is sold. Every second is precious in answering emergency calls, and the leading cities and counties of the West have satisfied themselves by practical tests that the fastest, most powerful gasoline they can buy is Rio Grande Crush. The purpose of tonight's program is not only to entertain you, but also to induce you to use the same gasoline that is specified for the fastest, most powerful cars on the highway. If Rio Grande Crush gives better performance in these cars, obviously it will improve the performance of your car. You travel the same highway, you too need emergency performance for your gasoline many times every day. We not only promise you greater speed and power with Rio Grande Crush gasoline, but the fifth gasoline will carry you more miles for less money. Official city records prove this to be true. And if you'll drive into your nearest Rio Grande station, we'll prove to you that it costs no more to enjoy police car performance. Chief Davis is with us once more, and I know he has something that he wants to say to you. Chief James E. Davis of the Los Angeles Police Department.
Good evening, friends. One purpose of this series of broadcasts is to familiarize the public with the operation of their police department and to enlist their cooperation. You private citizens can be of great help to your police officers. Tonight's case gives a typical example. When you see suspicious characters or suspicious actions, please make mental note so that in case a crime is committed, you can give the police some practical help. Because an alert young man memorized the license number of a suspicious-looking automobile, the case you're about to hear was broken in a hurry. Eventually, our detectives would have caught up to the criminals. For the lawbreakers who get away with it are very rare indeed. If you people who are at the scene of the crime can save a lot of time and a lot of the taxpayers' money if you will keep your eyes and ears open. Memorize the faces of suspected criminals. Remember scraps of conversation. Make notes of automobile license numbers. If you are held up, remember that you will soon be talking to the police, who will ask you for detailed descriptions of the robbers. The more information you can give us, the quicker we can recover the stolen property. We of the police department welcome your help and thank you for your suggestions. You will now hear how an alert amateur detective helped us solve a famous diamond robbery.
Go back for the beginning of tonight's story to the Christmas shopping rush of several years ago. Mr. and Mrs. Abraham Zeminski
are paying one of their many visits to a little radio shop near their home on 29th Street.
Papa, I think this would make us an elegant piece of furniture.
Well, now I'm telling you, it's too big. It costs too much. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll buy you this one. It's a little smaller, but you can play it louder.
No, no, Papa. This big one would be lovely by the green touch over stuff.
I know you approach New York. I tell you it's too much.
Gee, that's a lot from the day.
You're keeping none of your business for your cushions.
Yeah, but I'm blinded by the ice. I piped a headlight on the old man's finger. Boy, it's worth a fortune.
All right, but you're selling your way.
Yeah. I think Madam will find the Empire Console model here will fit in most agreeably with her other furnishings.
Papa, did you hear what he called me? Madam?
He's saying your compliments and it's costing me money.
Hello, Mrs. Minsky. How are you?
Hello, Mrs. Mankiewicz. How are you?
What a beautiful fur coat. Mrs. Minsky, you have been spending on your Rebecca once more, no?
Mrs. Mankiewicz, this is costing me money.
Oh, Mrs. Mankiewicz. Let me tell you, Papa put out $1,500 for this seal skin coat.
$1,500?
No. Is it possible? You are a good husband, Mrs. Aminsky.
I'll tell you what I'll do, Mama. I'll make you a proposition. You go home now, and you buy the radio maybe sometime again later.
Perhaps Madam would like to hear the tone of the instrument.
No. No, I know it must be very classy. You know, Mrs. Mankiewicz, Papa is so good to me. He buys me everything I want.
You're fortunate, Rebecca. My man is not so. He's a loafer. 14 years he has had his meat market, and what has he got for me? Nothing but 7 kids on a mortgage. I should better be married to your husband.
No, Mrs. Mankiewicz, that you cannot do. Papa is mine. Papa is so good to me. Young man, you can lock up the radio and send it up to our house. You have the address.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you get that? This is my favorite. My favorite.
On the next day, Roy beholds the clerk in the radio store installs the new radio for Mr. and Mrs. Zeminski.
Just one more wire to fasten and you'll be all set, madam.
How nice.
Yeah, that's all that's nice to me.
Papa, how you talk. You don't appreciate artistic things. Too long you've worked without getting culture. Now you can enjoy things.
There you are, madam. The tubes are warming up now.
Oh, Papa, listen. Music.
I hear it.
Oh, in Poland it was not so. When you began.
No, but you could hear there the designers play for nothing.
There you are, madam. This dial on the right controls the volume.
What's that?
I make it louder or softer. Now, this dial here brings in your station. If it gives you any trouble, let me know.
Don't worry. We will.
Nice place you got here, madam. Very tastefully finished.
Do you think so? Maybe you'd like to look around. I guess they can trip a wooden like sun in a drop of wine, maybe?
Sure. Don't mind if I do. Walter, you never saw such a rock in your life. Biggest spotlight.
Yeah?
Beyond the level. Must be $10,000 in ice in the place.
Tough to knock over?
Nah, it's a pipe. I've been back there 4 times to service the radio. I dinged it when I put it in so it wouldn't work any too hot. I got the whole layout.
Okay. As an old con yourself, you ought to know a good thing when you see it. But this ain't my record.
Well, I know it's different from safe cracking. It's a crying scene to overlook an easy knockover like this.
Yeah, you're right. Well, when do you want to go?
Anytime you say.
Well, there's no time like now.
Okay, pal.
Early in the evening of January 23rd, 1929, a Chevrolet Coupe cruises back and forth on West 29th Street. Finally, it comes to a stop, and the driver quickly turns off the lights.
It's dark enough now. Let's get going.
Okay, just a minute.
What's the delay?
Oh, I've got to get a shot.
Hey, what's the big idea?
No. Didn't you know I was drunk on the stuff?
No.
Well, I am.
Well, you better lay off Smith and cocaine. We got work to do.
I couldn't do a thing unless I got a load. That's better. Here. You want to try it?
No, thanks. You ready now?
Yeah.
That's all. Don't forget now, I'm Jude, and you're John.
Okay.
Here's the house.
Any dogs?
No.
Good.
All right, let's get these bandanas on. Got yours?
Yep. Well, how do I look? Like Jesse James?
Yeah, something like that. And here's old Black Bart right behind you.
Got to get out?
Sure.
Well, let's get going, then. Wait a minute. The screen door's locked. You ring the bell like the devil while I turn off the screen.
Okay.
There we are.
Oh! Hey, what's the matter?
Oh, I cut myself on the screen when I got it unlocked.
Cut down. Here comes the old guy.
Good evening. What can I do for you?
Put him up and keep him up and shut your eyes.
What is this, a practical joke?
No, it ain't no joke, and I'll get inside.
Easy, Papa. Just stand there in the draft, just for me.
They're already coming in, Mama.
Shut that door, dude.
Quiet, you. Put your hand, too.
Oh, don't frighten her, please. Put the guns down. She won't try to run away.
Shut up, you. Put your hands up.
What do you want of us?
We came for diamonds. Hand them over and be quick about it.
What diamonds? You have nothing you would want.
Is that so? Suppose you let us be the judge of that. Where are they?
I tell you, I...
Shut up. We'll find them ourselves. Face the wall, you two. You can cover Jigs while I switch the joint.
Okay.
Nothing here.
Please, mister. That's my wedding limit in Thailand. Don't worry.
Oh, shut up.
How are you doing, John?
I guess we'll have to torture it out of them. We can't stay here all night. Wait a minute. Here's a jewel box. Nothing but a piece of string of pearls. Are these real?
They are.
Okay, well, let's see what's in here. So this is the $1,500 sealskin coat.
Why? How did you know how much it cost?
You'd be surprised, lady. But don't worry. You can keep it. We ain't got no use for it.
Thank you. Now, won't you take the string of pearls and gold?
Sure. Things will tell us where the diamonds are.
Oh, but I can't.
You haven't any diamonds. There must be some mistake.
Oh, come on and quit wasting our time. We didn't do any guessing when we muscled in here. We know exactly what they've got. We've come to get it all.
But I told you
that... Where's that big rock you usually flash?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't, eh? Well, you'll soon find out, Gabe. Take a sheet off that bed in there and tear it up. We'll see how a little torture works. Now, you two, move back into the bedroom. Come on, get going. Now, sit down on the bed. Come on. You don't want your head blown off, do you?
Hey,
you.
Hey,
come on, sit up. What's the matter with you?
I have a pain.
Well, don't throw any shit. You ain't been hurt yet. Tie the hands behind him, Gabe. Attaboy. Now, hobble her feet.
Stop! Stop, I tell you, where are the diamonds are?
Well, you're talking sense, lady.
They're not in here. Any time you and I show you where they are, they're in the front room.
Carry her in there, dude. She don't weigh much.
Okay, come on, lady.
Here. Turn the book there. I'll get them. Here, I took them in my coat. Take them in your sleeve, Dad. Please leave us in peace.
Not bad. What'd you give for this dinner ring with the two rocks?
$2,000. And the martinis cost $500. Your first-rate showing, not a flower in them. Now are you satisfied?
Not quite. I'll take a look at that first myself. I thought so. Holding out on them.
I wanted to keep those things. Those earrings belong to my grandmother and old country. She let me keep them. It's so worth as much as the ring.
I saw this bracelet's an heirloom, too, and this bar pin. But I know a dame it'll be tickled pink to wear them.
Please don't take them from me.
Oh, shut up. Come on, we're going back in the other room now. Not bad, John. Pretty fair haul. I'll just step into the kitchen and make sure she didn't overlook nothing.
Well, make it snappy. I'm going to give this bird just 2 minutes to tell me where that big rocket is. And if he doesn't come through, I'm going to cut it out of him.
Can't you see my husband here? This will kill him.
Well, if it does, it's his own fault. I came after that ring, and I'm going to get it.
What are you going to do with that knife?
Now, just you wait and see. Now, my friend, where's that ring?
I haven't any ring.
Well, I know better.
I'm telling you the truth.
See this knife? Give me your feet. Come on, don't pull away, or I'll pull out your one. Now I'm going to cut a chunk of the time out of your feet until you get ready to talk. How's that strike you?
Please,
Papa,
tell them
where it is. Ah, that was just a stretch. Now, here's the second cut.
Stop. I'll tell you.
I thought so. All right, then. Where is it?
Under the bed. I threw it under there when I fell down.
I thought you were shaking when you said you were sick. Well, you'll find out whether you're telling the truth soon enough. Yeah, here it is, kid.
Yeah?
I got the big rock, all right. It's worth $3,000 if it's worth a penny. You find anything else?
No.
Well, how about it, folks? Got anything else? Studs? Fixings? Anything?
No. Honest, you've got it all. He did have the diamond fixing, but somebody stole it from him when you're just a small and you're too tall.
Okay, we got enough now. We'll leave you people tied up. We'll phone the cops after we've left and tell them you've been struck up. Then they'll come in and tie you. So long.
Mrs. Leminski doesn't wait for the robber's magnanimous offer to call the police, but as soon as the criminals leave, she unlooses the bonds of herself and her husband and telephones the police department. KGTL, the police radio station, broadcasts the call to the car in the neighborhood of 29th Street, and 2 minutes later, officers Bird Sinatra, University Division, arrives at the Leminski home. The frightened couple tell their story to the police.
And Dean said one of the men were questioning Papa. Maybe we went to the kitchen.
What for?
I don't know.
You better take a look out there, Bert.
Okay.
Now, would you recognize this man as your son again?
I wouldn't know them to see them.
The 2,000 they had bandanas on their faces.
But I don't. I know them if I hear their voices. One of them sounded familiar. Didn't you think so, Papa?
I couldn't tell. I was too scared.
Hey, here's something.
What's that?
There's two rooms I found in the kitchen with a tickle paper over them.
Oh, my dinner room. Oh, my lovely dinner room.
If the guy was in such a hurry looking the stones over, he forgot these.
Yes, Papa. I got my dinner room back. Is that so, Papa?
Yes.
Aren't you glad?
Mama. But what about my big solitaire? We'll never see that again.
Well, we'll do our best to recover it, Mr. Zeminski. But you can see, we haven't got much to go on in the way of identification.
It's Papa. David's gun again, coming back after the room.
I'll answer. Get the gun out, bud.
Right.
What do you want?
Is this the Zeminski home?
Oh, hello, Pat. What is it?
Oh, did you get held up or something?
Yes, Pat, but I'll tell you about it some other time, though. I'm busy now with these officers. I'll tell you about it tomorrow.
Well, all right, only I wanted to tell you I happened to see a couple of fellas driving up and down the block about a half an hour ago. Well,
what kind of a car?
Chevrolet, I think. A coupe.
How come you paid any attention to it?
Well, they drove by a couple of times, and they sort of looked suspicious, so I thought I'd keep my eye on them. You know, I'm taking a correspondence school course on how to be a detective.
You are, eh? Well, maybe you can help us with that. Go on.
Well, when I went home for supper, I kept thinking about that car, and it sort of worried me, so I went out again, and sure enough, that car was parked a little ways down the street from Mr. Zeminski's house.
Yeah? So what did you do?
Well, I stood behind a tree across the street from the house, and I saw the two men get out of the car and walk up on Mr. Zeminski's porch. And so before I went back home to finish supper, I sneaked up behind the car and I got the license number.
What? You got the license number of the car?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we've got to do things like that now. Detective lessons, get information and so on. You know, without being...
Yeah, yeah, I know. But what's the license number?
Hang on. Here it is. I've got it written down here. It's a 1929 license, 7G6783.
7 George 6783. Get on the phone, Bert, and give the captain that number.
He'll place it in a jiffy.
Okay. Kid, you got the makings of a copper. That's mighty fine police work, getting that number.
The Department of Motor Vehicles reports that license 7G6783 is registered to one Walter Bailey, who lives at the Renard Hotel, San Francisco. Captain Cahill of the Robert DeVille of Central Headquarters requests the Chief of Police of San Francisco to investigate this man. The next morning, Captain Cahill receives a reply.
Good. Gimli. Sorry.
Huh?
Yeah? Come into the office about it, will you?
Right away, Bill.
Well, I got a hot tip on that diamond job.
Yeah?
What is it? It's a wire from San Francisco. Those boys work fast up there. It says, Walter Bailey checked out Renard Hotel January 21st. New forwarding address, Delroy Hotel, Los Angeles. Reputation unknown.
Yeah, you know that guy, right, Bill?
No, I can't place it.
Sure, it's that dump on the other side of the track. Full of dips and snowbirds. Remember we knocked over Jerry Parker, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we sent a lot of other mugs in that job.
Well, let's get going. We'll ease down there and have a talk with this Bailey guy.
Leaving Pruitt and Sperry's lookouts in the police car, which they have parked half a block away, Cahill and Kimberly enter the hotel.
Anything I can do for you, gents?
We're looking for Bailey. Is he registered here?
I don't know. I'll have to telephone back. Have they got anybody here by the name of Bailey?
Yeah, he's in 642. Somebody in the lobby for you, Mr. Bailey.
Hey, disconnect that thing.
Go!
Yeah, pretty well trained, ain't it? Slipping off the guests. Well, if that's the sort of a joint this is, you're a scuttler up to Bailey's room personally, mister.
Come on, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you'll find out quick enough. Sixth floor.
Dogwood. What the big idea of all this swung on him?
All right, we don't have to draw pictures, do we? You're wise to who we are. And if I remember right, I'm wise to who you are. Seems like I've seen you in several shows.
Oh, yeah?
How's about it, Bill? Are you familiar?
Yeah, he does with that. They are, Bill. Now, where's 642?
Right down the
hall. Yeah, and the boys are walking out the back way already.
Hey, you guys. We're police officers. Stand up and get back in that room. Go on. Make it terrific.
You too.
Oh, but I'm the manager of this hotel.
I don't care who you are. You're going in there with the other two. All right, Kimberly. Take him down. Yeah. Find anything?
No, not yet.
Okay. You can put your hands down now. But the first man that makes a move is going to get killed. Now, which one of you is Bailey?
I'm Bailey.
All right. That's your suitcase?
Yeah.
See what he's got in there, Kimberly.
Yeah, nothing bad. Your clothes. Oh,
there's
a
candle, Captain. Let me see it. What have you been doing with this Milka Magnita, Bailey? Been having stomach trouble?
Yeah, a little. I've been bothered some lately.
Well, that's fine, Bailey. Thanks for your information. I happen to know that this stuff you admit is your Milka Magnita is morphine. You know how they'll book you for possession of narcotics.
You put
it. I don't get tough, Bailey. That won't do any good. You better just take it easy. Now tell us, Bailey, who was your partner on that last job?
What job?
The one you pulled last night.
We didn't pull any jobs.
We sort of think you did. You see, Bailey, you can usually spot us guys who wear badges. But you never can tell when an amateur detective is sticking out on you.
Cahill takes his business to headquarters, leaving Sperry on stakeout at the hotel. The two men are watched closely on the way to the station to prevent them from throwing away any jewels. For an intensive search of the room had failed to reveal the missing diamond. They are mugged and fingerprinted, and a comparison of records shows that Bailey and the many others had led a life of crime for 30 years, while DeFogue, his partner, was on parole from Folsom, where he was sentenced to serve a term for bank robbery. Mr. and Mrs. Zeminski are summoned to Central in an effort further to identify the two criminals.
If you'll just be seated here, Mrs. Zeminski.
Oh, thank you.
And you over here, Mrs. Zeminski.
Mm-hmm.
Kimberly, bring in number one. Do you folks recognize this man?
Papa, that's the nice young gentleman who calls me madam. The one who sold us the radio.
Yes, I am. I told you you shouldn't have bought that radio, Mama.
Hey, what's this all about? I never saw these people before in my life.
That's him. That's him. I know him to for sure by his voice.
What did you do with my diamonds, you young loafer?
Hey, what is this, a frame-up? I don't know nothing about no diamonds.
As soon as the Zeminskis hear Bailey talk, they recognize him as the other robber. That evening, the questioning of Bailey begins.
Now, listen. Before you start asking any fool questions, I got a proposition to make here.
Yeah?
Well, here it is. Behold, it's a young fella. He's got a chance. Me, I'm old. I can't do more than one hook anyway. I'll die up there. Now, if you file physician and narcotics on me, and let Behold go back to stir for violation of parole, I'll tell you where the big diamond is. I can't get the rest of this stuff back here.
We can't make any bargains with you. We want to know what you did with the jewels.
Okay, and I won't tell you.
Yeah.
I think about as much of you mugs as a man in my racket can think of at all. And you've got a fair idea how much that is. Look here. I'm on the junk. I need a shot, and I need a third. But I won't spare anything for nothing.
That's okay with us, Bailey. It doesn't make any difference if you sell anything or not. You bought yourself a one-way ticket to Folsom, and I found that can of milk of magnesia in your dress. Now, what we want to know is where are the diamonds?
Hour after hour, the drilling continues. At midnight, no further progress has been made.
Listen, you guys. I got to have a shot in the arm. I'll tell you where it is. Oh, give me a shot.
Nothing doing, Bailey. You come clean right now.
Okay. I'll tell you. I threw away the small stones on the way to the station. And a big one I gave to a pal of mine to keep for me. Now do I get a shot?
You're lying, Bailey. That isn't what you did with the stone.
Listen, I tell you. I'll brace if you send me up for narcotics. I'll only give the whole violation of parole. He's a good guy. I hate to see him spend his best days up there. Listen. I'll tell you if you'll give me a shot. Honest, I hit it bad.
Not a chance. I don't see what you're wasting our time for. We know you did the job. You're going to the big house for it. You can't make a deal with us. You can't get any dope. But you're going to tell us where that big diamond is that we sit here for 6 months.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you. I guess it won't do any good anyway. Well, I was driving down here to the station and I saw the darn thing.
Rushed to the receiving hospital with stomach pumps is applied to the Richardson Daily, and the diamond was finally recovered. The next day, Mr. Zeminski calls at Captain Cagle's office for his diamond.
Is this sent for me, Captain?
Yes, Mr. Zeminski. Come in.
Thank you.
Well, yes, sir. Well, here it is.
What? My diamond. Oh, Captain Cagle, how can I thank you? Oh, my beautiful diamond.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Zeminski. It's all in the day's work, you know.
Oh, you couldn't appreciate, Captain, how much this means to me. This diamond represents my wife, Captain. For years, I saved all the money I could. Even went without food sometimes. Until I could own this stone. Captain, where's the second?
Sorry, Mr. Zeminski. We were unable to retain it.
No. I can get another second somehow, but never could I get another diamond.
Happy in the return of his property, Mr. Zeminski rewards alert young Pat for his amateur detective work, and is delighted to learn that his would-be treacherous are made to pay for their crimes. William Bailey is given 5 years to life on 2 counts of first-degree robbery and 1 count of first-degree burglary.
and Roy DeHogue is sentenced to Folsom for violation of parole, 2 counts of first-degree robbery and 1 count of first-degree burglary, drawing 16 years to life. In behalf of the cast of Calling All Cars, I make a special request of all our listeners tonight. We have put in long hours in the writing and rehearsing of the show. We have no means of knowing whether or not you like these broadcasts unless you respond by calling personally at the Rio Grande station in your neighborhood. Won't you drop in there tonight or tomorrow? Ask for a copy of the Calling All Cars News. It's free and full of interesting information about these broadcasts. Take the boys and girls of your family into the Rio Grande station with you so they can talk with the Rio Grande dealer and learn how easily they can get a complete junior detective outfit free. Of course, we hope you will try some Rio Grande cracked gasoline, the same gasoline that is used by many police departments featured on these broadcasts. We are all convinced that there is no finer gasoline made. And so many of the West's largest cities and counties specify Rio Grande cracked that there must be a real reason for the popularity of this gasoline. You'll discover the reason when you try a tank full. And we also ask you to let the Rio Grande dealer drain your crankcase next time and refill it with Sinclair motor oil. We feel that Sinclair motor oil gives you greater value, and we'd like a chance to prove it. Thank you. This is Frederick Lindsay bidding you good night for the Rio Grande Oil Company.